were in one of the meetings, and we were in a text in Genesis 18, and there was something that stood out to me, and I thought, I think I'm going to develop a message on that and preach that on Sunday. Amen? And so that's what I've done with that. So that's going to be our text. We're not going to be there for a little while. You can turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The title today is Learning to Tell Time as a Christian. Learning to Tell Time as a Christian. Time is our God-given means to collectively organize and plan life. You think about how intricately linked our lives are to time. God desires that we all know how to properly tell time. Now, we have a regular clock on the back wall, and I can read that, amen. There's probably some young people that the only thing they know how to do is tell a digital clock, amen. And anyway, the old mechanicals are just fine. That one actually updates based on over there in Denver with the whole satellite thing, which is great, keeps it going. And whenever, you know, the daylight saving time thing hits, it adjusts. That's wonderful, amen. But the ability to tell time is a blessing. We also need to understand that to everything, there is a season and a time. Everything, amen. To everything, there is a season and a time. And we're going to look in Ecclesiastes to see that. But you know, for a farmer, if a farmer chooses to plant in December up here in Indiana, it ain't going to work out real well. It ain't going to work out. The ground might be frozen. And even if it's not, the soil temp isn't such that the seed's going to grow. And it's going to lay there, and once it starts getting moist and all, it's going to rot. It's never going to come about. There's a time and a season to everything, though. Everything, not just for the farmer. The Bible says there is a time and a season to everything. Amen. Let's pray, then we'll jump into Ecclesiastes 3 and the rest of this morning's message. God bless, I pray, this day, and help us, Lord, to learn a little bit better how to tell time on your clock today. I pray, Father, that you would move in and out of the pews of this building, that you would visit each of us, Lord. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit would have free course to do his work in our lives. I pray the word of God would be brought forth in a way that would be pleasing to you. God, might you direct this message. God, take control of me. Use me, I pray. Might not what comes forth be my words, but thine. God, we love you. We thank you. We commit this service to you. We ask, God, that this would be a special time. Special time for all of us that are able to open your word, be under the preaching of it, and to have thy spirit do its work in our lives by it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. By the way, Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time. It's great to know that there is a season and a purpose to everything under heaven. It's even better to know that time, to know those seasons. Amen. Not just to generally understand that this is true, but to know what season we're in, to know what time it is today, to know what time it is in the midst of the week, to know all these things. It's better not just to generally know, but to specifically know. Note in verse 2, it says in Ecclesiastes 3, a time to be born. We'd all say praise the Lord. And by the way, if you're here today, you've experienced that. Amen? There was a time. There's a couple amongst us that are pregnant, amen? And there is a time that they will bring forth a child. Now, we believe that child, that baby is a baby already, amen, at conception. We get that. But there will be a time of delivery. And it's not your time, it's their time, amen? It's God's time that God's put there. And then that child will spring forth. We've all experienced that. We've all been born. No matter what anybody has told you about how you came to be, the reality is you were born. Amen? There is a time to be born and a time to die. And by the way, if you're ready for that day, you need not fear that day, right? And we can be ready in that through Christ. Amen? Once I got born again, I have eternal life abiding in me. So once I pass from this life, my life continues. Amen? Why? Because I'm born again. I'm a child of God, and I came to Christ by the gospel. Amen? I believed in Jesus. I believe what he did for me on the cross of Calvary. I turned from everything else that I was trusting in. everything else. I've turned from that and I've embraced Christ. Amen. I love what Brother Hewitt says. Repentance is not doing something, it is ceasing from doing something. Amen. I no longer trust in those things. I completely trust in Jesus Christ. I've turned and I've believed and I'm trusting him completely to do as he has said he will do in saving my soul and keeping me throughout all eternity. Amen. And so there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. That would be to tear down and to build up. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. Y'all do know there is a time to lose. It's not always gain time. It's not always gather time. It's not always make a buck time. Sometimes we need to lose. And that's okay. It's not always time to be gathering. Amen. Sometimes it's just time to expend, spend, spend, spend. It's not time to gather. Amen. So there's a time to get and a time to lose. Don't be all upset because you lost something. Amen. It might have been on purpose. Amen. In God's design. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sew. You ladies, don't be upset that garment got ripped. Amen. There's a time for a rip. Amen. And there's a time to sew when your sewing machine's not broke, right, Dana? Yeah, we got a sewing machine that needs fixed. Amen. Anyway, don't be ripping your clothes, children. Amen. A time of war and a time of peace. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Do you realize this text says, to everything? And you might say, I just don't believe that. Then you're not a Bible believer. Amen? If you're a Bible believer, you believe what's being stated here. To everything there is, the Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, how do we tell physical time? We'll look back at Genesis. This is not man's doing. Telling time is God's doing. Genesis chapter 1. You say, well, we have a watch. What's that watch and clock based on? Genesis chapter 1 and in verse number 14. If it wasn't for God and the consistency of creation and the stars and the moon and the sun, we would have no time reference. God made time. Man did not make time. This is not man's doing. This is God's doing. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Say, what's that? That's references to time. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. That would be the sun and, of course, the moon. He made the stars also. And as many as there are, billions, trillions, wherever they are, it's just, oh, yeah, he made them too. Amen. Amen. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Even in this, God shows that it takes an evening and a morning to make one full day. Amen. God has given us the time frame, the markers that show a consistency in time. So much so that we can, through gearing and all that mechanically, before the electronic side came along, we could absolutely build something that would be consistent then and still to this day. At the first, man told time by the sun, moon, and stars. That's how it was done. And then we find that through inventions and all that, the first mechanical clock came to be in 723 AD. the first mechanical clock. That's known of anyway. Before that, though, they used to use, I printed off a little article, it's just fascinating about time, but they used to use the old sundial, amen. Aren't you glad we're not using the sundial? I mean, Flintstones had one of the Fred on his arm, right? Big old sundial, and I don't know how he held that thing right, but it just seemed like it was always telling the right time. And so they had a little more technologically advanced there in Fred's day. But nonetheless, amen, that's not how it was. That was just a cartoon, amen. And anyway, we find that they would use sundials, and they would watch the sun, the shadow of it and all that. And we do that here. You could tell the shadow of things, kind of typically how or what time it happens to be. Or a lot of times my belly tells me when it's lunchtime, amen. I don't know about you, but there's different ways that we mark time, amen. And so we know that in time frame, is a little bit different based on where you're at. Like if you're overseas and all that, it's a different time of the day. And that really wasn't important until travel. When ships and all that were traveling, and then, of course, airplanes. And so in 1925, man came up with a consistency of what's called GMT or Greenwich Mean Time, so that, like in the aircraft world where I'm from, we would call Z time. Z time is GMT time. Military understands this. And so it's just, we're here, we're GMT plus four. So you take whatever that time is there, you add four to it, that is Z time or GMT time. But it's just so you can have a worldwide consistency. Man has always sought to know the time, to know the, and it, by the way, we know that it gets light, it gets dark one day. Man was never satisfied with that. They wanted to know it more intricately. What time of the day is it? Amen. And so there's been great lengths that have come about just so that we can tell time. We've put a lot of energy into it, not just to tell the time of day, but of the month and of each year and decade and century and so on. Question is this: do we trust ourselves to always know what time it is? Or do we find ourselves doing this? What time is it here? Do you trust yourself to know what time it is? Anybody like that? Say, I don't use a watch. I don't use a clock. I don't use a phone. I don't use a computer. Nothing. I don't ever look at a clock. I just know what time it is. Anybody like that? That's interesting. So you're telling me, in order for you to make sure you know what time it is, you're looking at something that's understood as reliable and consistent to know the time. Is that what you're saying? That's exactly what you're saying. Amen? And while we see we're talking about physical time, the parallel is amazing in reference to spiritual time and what time it is on God's clock for everything. Learning to tell time in life and understanding time, just physical time, it enables you to be on time for things. Amen? Hallelujah. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30. Some people are still trying to figure that out. They're not quite here at the right time. Amen. Get here a little bit late. Someday you'll grow up, amen, and be on time for things. That's a mature thing, right? It's just a mature thing. Amen. And you'll get it at some point and all that. But having a watch, you're able to tell time. So like if you have a job, I know when I worked at ATA, they actually had one of those old type punch a card thing. Man, and if you were 1 second late, you were 15 minutes late. You were docked 15 minutes pay just for being a second late. So you didn't, and then you were only allowed, I think it was 3 tardies in a year until you were fired. Amen. Didn't want to be fired, amen. So I get there early, amen, usually. And then, I was willing to break laws to get there on time, amen, personally. You know what I'm talking about, you that drive a million miles an hour, amen, on the way to work because you're just a little bit late. And so, but the point is this, knowing how to tell time enables you to be on time. It doesn't make you be on time, but it at least enables it. It enables us to wake up by an alarm clock. Is that a blessing? I need to get up. I can set the clock. I can set the alarm clock. It'll help me get up. Just knowing those things. It enables us to have a consistent dinner time with our families. You may not do that, but you could.
You could, if it works out for schedules and all that, you could set that. Everybody be here at this time. And then if someone's not, then you can deal with that. Amen? And you can tell your children. Children, this is how you train them. You say, it might be noon at lunch, you're talking to them, say, at 5 o'clock, I want everybody at this table. And then if they're late and they're not, then that's, you know, you get to help disciple them. Amen? And it's just teaching them how to tell time. Now, if you're not consistent, that won't work. Amen? But if you'll be consistent and you know how to tell time and you let it mean something to you, then you can help them. And by the way, it is a good thing to know how to tell time. And it is a good thing to live in such a way that it means something. God made references of time for a reason. Amen. In life, the beginning to be consistent in our lives as Christians demands that we learn how to tell time. Amen. On a large scale, time frames can be broke down like this. On a large scale, God has a time frame and he's working out his eternal purpose on a grand scale. From creation all the way until the creation of a new heaven and new earth. We have that time frame listed in the Word of God. And we can go through and list all that out. On a national scale, the life or the birth of a nation. We celebrate that in our country when our nation was birthed. Until the day that it is, and they're working really hard to destroy it. People are working really hard to destroy what was started in our nation. And someday, the Lord tarries, it will be destroyed, just like all others. Amen. But the point is that in reference to a nation, there is a time frame. And in reference to life, our life, your life, there was a time that you were born, and there is a time that you'll die, of course, unless Jesus comes back before that, calls us out in the rapture, which is fine with me, amen. But there is a time of life. And from birth all the way until the day you die, there are seasons and times throughout that life. And that is consistent for all of us, but all of us are living our own lives, so all those have to kind of work together, but that's a time frame. So as the scale gets lower and closer to home, the time frames kind of come together, all running at the same time, different for each, yet much the same. Your scale by year, month, day, etc. We mentioned today some birthdays. We mark time for a reason. Now, in the large scale view, God deals with time frames. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but from creation to the fall, that was a time frame. It's called a dispensation. The word dispensation is a biblical word, and the word literally means an administration of a period of time. That's what it means. And so from the fall until the flood, that's a time frame. And we can mark it, and we can say, well, things like that, you know, we're going on this time frame. We can mark how God was speaking to man, what took place in that time frame. And then from the flood, after the flood, until Tower of Babel, how was God dealing with man? And then from the Tower of Babel on until Abraham or the Hebrew fathers, how was God? You can mark these periods of time in your Bible. And it'll bring things together in our understanding in reference to how God works with man in a smaller scale. Since Jesus has come to this earth until now, we're in a period called the church age. And in this age, this time of grace, God is dealing with man in a particular way. We can understand it by referencing the time that it is. And by the way, it's going to be over, I believe, soon, this church age. And it's going to end with a rapture for us, for the most part. There's a little transitional period, signing the peace treaty, which starts that 7-year tribulation period. But the tribulation period is the last 7 years of a law that has to happen. It's an administration of time. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ, those 1,000 years, it has to happen, and it's an administration of a period of time. Amen. The final judgment, same thing. And so God works in time frames. Some people say God is above time and doesn't work within time. That's a bunch of hogwash. Now, he's eternal, and he is at the beginning as well as at the end all at once. He's not bound by the laws like we are in time, but he absolutely works within his own time frames. He absolutely does. He's the creator of it. He didn't create it and say, ain't for me, it's for you. He lives within it. In each of these, we must know the time and the season so that we can respond correctly to life. That's why you want to know the time. So you can do by that time structure what's needed for that time. Amen? Not only does God have a grand plan for all humanity, each of us live in the set years of our life on earth by God's timing. He's given us seasons. He's given us years, months, weeks, and days. This is built into creation and his plan for our lives. Look at Genesis 12 very quickly. Genesis 12. This is where this whole thought of this message was spawned. Actually, Genesis 18, but in Genesis 12, Abraham and Sarah had huge issues in their life. Do you know why they had huge issues in their life? They didn't know how to tell time. They didn't know what time it was on God's watch. They had, I don't wear a watch. I borrowed this from my daughter. Amen. It's purple and it looks like a girl watch. And it will come off before the message is over. Amen. But mankind thinks they know what time it is. Very rarely, though, checks God's watch to make sure they know what time it is. You see what I'm saying? Abraham and Sarah lived in reference to time based on what they thought of their own idea. But they failed to understand on God's watch what time it was. God gave an amazing promise in Genesis 12, verse number 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." When God told that to Abram, who later became Abraham, and to Sarai, who later became Sarah, so I'll call him Abraham and Sarah. When God told that to Abraham, when he gave him this promise of being a great nation, this is what Abraham and Sarah heard. We're going to have a child. They heard, for us to have a great nation, then we're going to have some offspring. That's what they heard. And that was the promise. They heard that as the promise of God. Now go over to Genesis 18. From Genesis 12 to Genesis 18, they tried to help God out. They tried to bring about the promise of God on their own. They tried to ascribe the growing of their family to Eleazar and his children, the servant in his house. And then we know that Sarah had this brainstorm idea. Oh, I know. I'll give Hagar, my handmaid, to my husband, and they'll have relations. They'll get married. They'll have relations. She'll be pregnant. She'll have a child. And that'll be how God fulfills his promise. They tried everything. You know why? Do you know why they tried everything? They didn't know what time it was in reference to God's blessing being fulfilled. They got what we would call impatient. And God gave them a promise, and they said, "We want that now." And they weren't willing to check with God on what time it was. They weren't willing to see what the timing was from God's perspective. And so it caused them to do a bunch of stuff that caused them all kinds of trouble in their life, to include Ishmael, who is still a thorn, the descendants in the side of Israel to this day. Because they did not know what time it was, it caused them to do a bunch of stuff out of time. Do you see that? Genesis 18, verse 10. This is the passage that just jumped out at me the other night, and I was like, this is amazing. I'm underlining in my Bible and everything. This is great. Genesis 18, verse 10. "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life." Now, this is Sarah, and we know what that means for a woman. There are only certain times in a woman's life that she can become pregnant. If you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to your parents. That was easy. Kind of push that off, amen. Anyway, there is a There is a woman just can't get pregnant anytime. There's a time. There's a window. But here's, Sarah's 90. There is no window opening when you're 90. Amen, preacher. That's right. That's right. So this is amazing because God said, Sarah, you're 90. I know you are. I am going to give you a little window of time. According to my time, I'm going to give you a time. He says, I know it's been a long time, and I know to you the time has come and gone. But God says, it ain't come and gone. It is coming. God said, my time for you, I haven't forgot the promise. My time hasn't come yet. You keep acting like it has, it hasn't. You keep wishing it would, it hasn't. My time is coming. And when it comes, that's when you'll be able to go forward in the promise that I gave, according to the time. It goes on to say, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Sarah and Abraham were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. By the way, that's a form of mocking. Saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I have surety bear a child who am old? He says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. What's he saying? He's saying, I've already set a time. They said, time's gone. Time's passed. It'll never happen. And God said, there is a time. I've set the time. We must understand that God is not bound by our time. We must seek out what His timing is for everything. Amen? Look at Genesis 21. Genesis 21 and verse number 1. Genesis 21 and in verse number 21. How good are you at being able to read God's watch? Doesn't matter how tired you are. It doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter what you have and what you don't have. What matters is we better get good at reading God's watch. Amen. Amen. Genesis 21 verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. What's that next phrase? What is it? I can't hear you. At? Amen. Thank you. At the set time. When did it happen? At the set time. Well, who set the time? God did. They wanted it earlier. How'd that work out? It only caused them problems. They weren't looking for God's timing. They were looking for what worked in their timing. Can I tell you this as a Christian? Serving God will never be convenient. It will never seem to work out in your timing. There are so many obstacles to Christianity because the devil, the prince and power of the air, is not going to make it easy for you to serve God in this day. If you're looking for everything to work out and be smooth as butter, amen, it ain't ever going to happen. We are not looking for things to work out. We're looking for God's timing in everything, amen. We just want to know what time it is, amen, so that we can be at the appointed place at the appointed time. By the way, Noah was given a time frame. Noah was visited by God, and he said, you got 120 years. There's going to be a flood. He told him to build a boat. Amen. And they're getting ready to get out of the ark. Amen. And see, in a sense, what that might have potentially looked like. They take a lot of liberties. There's not much given on detail. But praise the Lord. Amen. He followed. And he followed God's timing when it wasn't popular, when it wasn't easy. He set everything else aside. So how do you know he set everything else aside? When you see the size of the boat, you'll realize there's nothing else he could have done but work on building a boat, amen, for that time frame. And so that's his time. Sometimes God is direct with his time frames, And at other times, the times are understood, but not given directly. In John 20, you don't need to turn there, but there was a man named Thomas. And Jesus had already been crucified. He was put into the grave. And then he resurrected. And that same night, there was a meeting. It was a Sunday night. He resurrected on Sunday. It was a Sunday night meeting of the group. Call it the church. A church is a called out assembly. The church was already in, it was already brought, Jesus established that group, that called out assembly, amen? And they were assembled in a room. And Jesus came in without opening the door, praise the Lord. Someone was missing. His name was Thomas. You say, well, he probably didn't get the email. He probably didn't get the invite flyer. He probably didn't get, you know, someone didn't come and really, it's on somebody else for him not, no, it's on Thomas. The group met. When the group meets, we all meet. When the group has an appointed place, we all have an appointed place, amen? That's how it works, amen? That's what it says in Hebrews 10. That's what it says. And we commit to that. We covenant together for that because we're serving God together, amen? And so Thomas didn't show up. And then all the disciples, the apostles, they're excited about it. Whoa! Hey, Thomas, man, you won't believe what's going on. We were in this upper room, and Jesus comes walking in right through the wall. Amen. Whoa! It is amazing. Thomas goes, I don't believe it. Really? It's believers only. Amen? I don't see that as important. That's why when you guys hear stuff about what's going on with the tent, if you're not been there, you're like, that's no big deal. But us that are there, we're like, oh my, whoa, man, God is at work, amen. What time is it for you? What time is it? That's the point. We need to know what time it is on God's calendar. Then that next church meeting, Thomas was there. And after he was there, his response, the thrusting his hand in his side and reaching his finger in the wounds, he said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. You see, there's an appointed time to things. It's not our time. We're not looking for a convenient time. We're looking for God's time regardless of how convenient it is. Amen? As Christians, look over at James 4. James 4, we must know how to tell time by God's watch and not our own. Learning how to tell time as a Christian is so important to your spiritual growth. It is so important to your family's spiritual growth. It is so important to God's work being done. It is so important to souls being saved. Learning how to tell spiritual time is paramount. It is absolutely necessary for each of us. James 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Just because it seems to make sense to you doesn't mean it's what God's plan is. Just because it seems to be a no-brainer for man doesn't mean that's God's direction for you and I. It may be. It may not be. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying we need to get good at knowing God's will. There's a young man under the tent, got saved last week. And I was talking to him a day or two after. And he's like, I read through the Bible. And he goes, I'm just not getting it. And he's been in church for a long time. He just wasn't saved, finally got saved. And I was like, well, do you know anything about how, like a general format, how to read the Bible? I mean, you can't like read everything as if it directly applies to you without knowing some context, right? He's like, huh. So I went into what a historical context is. I went into how to know who's speaking, who's being spoken to, what's God doing. Those are all important things, right? I went through Jesus as the master key. He's always, I mean, on and on and on, all the way through. And then I came home, I printed off just a rules of interpretation thing that I have to help people. He's blown away. And then he said this, he goes, I'm just perplexed. I just don't know God's will. I go, well, the Bible talks about knowing God's will. And I talked with him for a while, and I gave him a bunch of stuff, and I was like, I got a thing at the church I'll print off and bring to you. So I was able to go, and I printed off, I think it's like a, I don't know, 20-page study I did on how to know God's will. And I brought that to him. I mean, he is so excited. He wants to know God's will. What's that saying? He wants to know God's timing on things. He wants to know what he is supposed to do and where he is supposed to be and where he's supposed to put forth his time and what he's supposed to invest in and what he should occupy himself with and what he should not. He wants to know God's will and God's timing. Amen. Hallelujah. He just got born again. And now he wants to know what God's timings are. Amen. This guy's going to grow if he keeps that up. Amen. Look over at Haggai chapter 1. After the restoration of Israel to their land, so after Babylon, they ended up back in Jerusalem. There was three iterations of groups that would come over, and we find that Haggai is brought forth after the midst of the second one, and it says in Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 3, you see, here's the problem. They started doing God's will. They got busy going back to build the temple. That's what they built first, temple first. Afterwards, Nehemiah came for the wall. But they're building the temple, but then it got hard. Sanballat and Tobiah, if you recall from Ezra, he kind of tells the story real well on that, amen, Nehemiah, but especially in Ezra. But we find that they were busy doing right. They were building the temple, but then it got difficult. Then it got hard. And all this outside pressure started coming in and everything. And so they stopped doing the work. They chose the easy path. They said, oh, you know what? It's so hard. We got to focus on our family. We got to get back and just deal with our little corner of the world. And we're going to let everything else stop. This was God's advice to them. Haggai 1:3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? By the way, that was in reference to the temple, which was not sealed. Is it time for you to dwell in your nice little cozy corner of the world while this house lie waste? That's what it says. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says, learn how to tell time. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Man, you're beating yourself to death to bring it in. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house and take pleasure in it. He says, enjoy it. He says, I've given you this to do. Stop acting like it's not enjoyable to do the work of God. Stop acting like there's only pleasure when you go on vacation or do your own thing or spend time with, you know, your own little small little clique. Amen. No, you enjoy the building of God. Go get some wood, go get the materials, and let's have a building party. Amen. And have fun at it. Amen. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, watch this, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. What was their problem? They didn't know how to tell time. They didn't know how to tell what time it was on God's watch. You say, yeah, but the government shut them down. True. Artaxerxes sure did. He told them to stop building. But wait a second. What do we do when the government says to stop and God says go? We go. That's what we learn from Scripture, not in rebellion, but in obedience to God. Amen? And they chose the easy path because there was opposition, and they mistook the time. They said, because it's hard, God must be saying stop. But the opposite is true. The world will always make life hard on you and I as believers. And as soon as we start making some headway for God, and we start seeing souls saved and transformed by the power of God, there will always be the lost and the fake Christians just pop up and try to poo-poo it all and say, oh, I bet that's not really happening. Oh, and you just absolutely just throw water on the fire, amen. But true Christians don't do that, amen. We encourage each other and we fan the flames, amen. Because we love to see the work of God go forward, but the world hates it. The world and false Christians, backslidden Christians, hate to see the work of God go forward, so they poo-poo it. Question is, who are you going to listen to when it comes time to knowing what time it is? We need to listen to God. Life is time and place based. There's people that say, I don't got to be in church to serve God. Yes, you do. Bible says you do. I've had people actually ask me, do you really think I'm not right with God because I don't go to church? I absolutely believe you're not right with God if you don't go to church. I don't believe you're not. I believe you're not right with God if you miss church. Unless it's a really, really, really good reason. And it would be an oddity, not a normal practice. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the preacher. I was faithful before I became the preacher. Amen? I believe, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I mean, I believe that's scripture. I believe that's a command. The point is this. People want to act like life is about your time when it's not. It's about God's time. I'm bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Amen? And we think we know better. We think we know better of what time it is. We don't. But God knows. Amen? We understand this in reference to most things. Work. Do you know work is time and place connected? If you show up for work at a different place than what you're supposed to, how's that work? I was there, boss man. I had my shovel. I had my hammer. I had my tool bag. I had on my muck boots. I showed up at 111 North, my own street. The boss says, but where I sent you was to 345 my place. Boss man, are you telling me that I'm not going to get paid because I showed up to the wrong place? That's absolutely correct. We understand that in the world's realm, but when it comes to God, we just expect God to understand. Wrong. You don't get paid anything for that day. You don't get blessings for that day. The faithful man abounds with blessings. It is incumbent upon us to have a connection with God so that we know time and place continually. That's what it means to be right with God. It means to be in the right place at the right time 24/7. Amen? School. You people that go to school, young people, you go to suburban. You show up at some other school. Does that work? It might even be the right time, wrong place. You might show up at the right place, suburban, but it's midnight. Right place, wrong time. No instruction given, no help, no credit for being there. The same is true of God. It's true of activities, it's true for everything. Christianity is the same way. It's true of church, it's true of your Bible reading. There is a time and a place that God wants you to read your Bible every day. Every day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's that important. It's more important than our food that we physically eat. That's how important the Bible is. So every day, at least once, if not twice, three or five times a day, God has an appointed time and place for you to read your Bible. Let me ask you this. How's your How's your watch doing on God's time? Oh, I don't got time because I got this going on. Oh, I got to be. Didn't work for Haggai's day and those people. Didn't work for Abraham and Sarah. Didn't work for any of these. God has an appointed time and place for everything, every minute, everything. Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Amen. Let me ask you this. What about witnessing? We showing up to our appointed time to witness and tell people about Jesus? We showing up. If you're a Christian and you're never telling anybody about Jesus, are you trying to tell me that when the Spirit of God came upon you, according to Acts 1:8, that you'll receive power and that he'll be a witness through you? You're trying to tell me that for you it's different? Every one of us as Christians daily have appointed times and appointed places that we're to tell someone about Christ. How you doing? How's your watch reading coming? How's your ability to tell time on God's watch coming? I just was just thinking through this today, and I just kind of wrote this little questioning out. How many think it's important to go to work and earn a paycheck? Sure. I know some of you are afraid to raise your hand because you thought I might make fun of you or something, but sure we are. We think it's important. I think it's important to take care of your own. And how many went to work on time, the right place this past week? Oh, sure. I'm sure many of you did. Amen. But if I was to show that raise the hand on Bible reading or on witnessing, it might not have been the same response. Amen. Romans 13:11. Turn there, please. We're about finished. Romans 13:11. I started off and I read Ecclesiastes 3, and I quoted a part of a verse from Romans 13, the first part of chapter 13, verse 11. It says this, Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time. Listen, you can't just go through life acting like you don't know what time it is. You know how kids do that at home, right? Oh, I didn't know it was time to clean my room. It's always time to clean your room. Amen? Amen. Right, Colin? Because it's always dirty. There's always something out of place. Right? Amen. It's always time. Some things with God, it's always time too. Amen? And that knowing the time, it is that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we would believe. What that's referring to is the fact that we're going to realize through the adoption, Romans 8, when we go up to glory, that's when we're going to fully realize our flesh will be born again then, and we're going to fully realize we have that hope of that promise, that fulfillment coming. Now, I'm closer to that now than when I got saved in time frame. I got saved, it's been 20-some years. I'm closer now to fully realizing my salvation in glory. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Don't waste your time with those things. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. God saying, know the time. The time is to wake out of our carnalness, of our carnality. Wake up out of that and stop wasting your time with things that doth not profit and that are not included in God's timing, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You are either going to live on your time or on God's time. The lost have no concept of God's time. Say, prove it. Matthew 24. Yes, I thought you said we were almost done. We are. We're almost done. Matthew 24, verse 37. Mention Noah. Noah lived on God's time, and he was blessed for it. The boat was done on time. The waters came. His family was in the ark, not because he lived in his time to get his family ready, but because he lived in God's time to get his family ready. Amen. Notice Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, that's Noah. That's how the New Testament brings in his name. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be about this time when Jesus comes back. Amen. Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There are many people that say, today's not the day for me to get saved. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Amen? He'll say, today's not the day. Do you realize that in Noah's day, there was weddings going on the day that Noah entered the ark? Do you know that Noah entered the ark and it didn't rain until 7 days later? Beautiful picture, the rapture, the saints in heaven for 7 years. Anyway, different story. Noah and his family, all the animals, he didn't have to go chase them all down, amen. God brought them all in. And they were in that ark, shut up in the ark for 7 days before the rain started coming. Do you know in that 7 day period, we're on God's timing. God said, this is where you're supposed to be. Everybody else said, I don't got time for that. And it cost them. Can I say, it's going to cost you if you don't live according to God's time. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost your children. It's going to cost your generations. It's going to cost your neighbors who you don't witness to. It's going to cost everyone. You say, but I'm doing good. Sometimes doing good is the enemy of doing God's will. And we justify ourselves because we're doing what needs to happen. Is that right? Is that God's watch or your watch? And I just honestly believe that God would be pleased if we just took our watch. I was going to throw it, but it's not mine. And we take off our watch and we adopt God's. And we say, God, not my will, thine be done. God, it sure does seem good if I would go do this. God, with full transparency and openness, God, what do you think? Not what works for me and you. No. God, what say you? What's your timing? Because we don't know what's on the morrow. Life's a vapor. God knows. God knows what we need today. God knows what my family needs today. I don't. He does. I have to live on his time. Amen. God, thank you for this day. And thank you, Lord, for the thought behind this message. Lord, truly Abraham and Sarah tried and tried and tried to do what they thought best to bring about your promise. And they failed miserably. And they caused nothing but problems for their family. But God, when they yielded to your time, your blessing came. Their family was helped. Not only them, but we still benefit to this day because your time came. God, help us to live on your time. No matter what's happening in our lives, and I know we all lead different lives, we have different responsibilities, we have all kinds of things going on. But God, help us each individually to live on your time and to yield our lives to you and not try to reason through and convince you that our timing is best or that this is right or that's. God, help us just to yield to you and to yield to your timing. No matter how we feel, no matter what's going on, might we yield to your wisdom and your insight and your knowledge and your timing. Bless this message. Help us with it, I pray. You've already helped me. I thank you for that. But help us all, I pray, in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.